All right, we are live. So first of all, I want to dedicate this class also to someone who's going through somewhat of a surgery right now. His name is Tzvi Ben Chaya Shtzara, and he should have a complete refuah shlema. And I'm thinking about him, and I'm hoping that this surgery should bring answers. Shem should answer everybody's tefillos. Okay, what are we talking about here? What have we been discussing? So we are in the beginnings of our Tanya class. We're trying to understand, what is the Tanya trying to speak to, tell us? What is the Alter Rebbe trying to say? And throughout Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, like we said, the Alter Rebbe is trying to, first of all, make sure we're both communicating. We're using the same words and they mean the same things, okay? So we're right away starting with basics and fundamentals, and we have to understand what is a tzaddik, what is a rasha, what is a neshama, what is a beinoni, right? Remember that this whole sefer was written as sefer shel beinonim, so the beinoni is pretty relevant. But it's all in order for us to help us understand what is our avodas Hashem, what is going to ensure that we have a deeper understanding, a clarity on what is our avodas Hashem. So, first we have to break down what is an actual person, who are we at our core, and if at our core we understand who we are, then maybe we could start navigating from a different set of values, from a different place, knowing who we are, really, essentially. So we're going to start from the very first place we should start from, which is our neshama. So the Alter Rebbe starts talking about nefesh habahamis, nefesh halakis, your godly soul, your animal soul. As we discussed, the animal soul is the soul that does not have a consciousness of Hashem. And we gave these character traits to help us understand a little bit more, to get in touch with a little bit more of what is this nefesh habahamis, this driving force inside of us that we all have, okay? What is that driving force? That driving force is one that experiences anxiety, it's short-sighted, and it doesn't experience depth, and it doesn't recognize Hashem. That is the nefesh habahamis. It is interested with self. And that interest itself, again, is not to make it sound like it is selfish, it's just self-oriented, which means it's just trying to survive in a world that looks really scary. When you see divisiveness, that makes you want to self-protect. You see, it's a natural thing, right? You experience, it's so funny because I'm experiencing it right now. Hold on one second. Say it again. So there's something about me, I have like this mental thing, if something falls on the floor, I pick it up. Other people are not like that. And the story that I shared so many times probably with this class is how my husband dropped something once and I witnessed it. And do you remember this story? It's like a funny story. So we were dating or engaged. And my husband and I I had just landed. He was picking me up from the airport and he's trying to explain something to me like our agenda for the day, and as he's talking or gesturing with his hands, he drops the keys, okay, to the car. And my instinct, I don't know what it is, it's something inside me, something falls, I have to pick it up. This is what you do. You pick, when something falls, we pick it up. That's what we do. And it's simple. And I am waiting a few seconds, is he gonna pick it up? And then I'm about to stoop and pick it up, and he's like, no, I'll get it. But then he didn't. Right? And he's continuing to talk, but I can no longer register the words that he is saying because there are keys on the floor. So I don't know what that is inside me and what that reflects on me, but it's difference, right? He is the kind of person who doesn't pick up keys right away. I am the kind of person who does pick up keys right away. And suddenly, in the most subtle of ways, in the most subliminal of ways, there is difference between you and me. And that, in a very subtle, nuanced way, is scary. So my nefesh habahamis sees that and suddenly thinks, oh my goodness, now I'm married to, or I'm going to get married to this person who doesn't pick up keys right away. Okay, this is a tiny little difference, but it's a difference. And so my nefesh habahamis has to figure out, How am I going to survive with this difference? I need to protect. I need to figure this out. Because difference is scary. So I need to figure it out and make sure that I'll know how to navigate. And when I know how to navigate, I'll feel more secure. Because now I know how to navigate with this difference, right? That's all Nefesh HaBahamas thinking, and it's all based on what we termed over here, klipa, which is externality, which is coverings, which is what this world is. The world you see is a lot of coverings over godliness. Things that are conscious of God and things that are not conscious of God. Everything you see basically is not conscious of God. It just feels physical and material, and you can't necessarily see the light of Hashem within it, and it doesn't necessarily express the light of Hashem within it. When I see difference, or when I see barricades, or I see walls, that's what makes me feel like I have to protect. When we say, I don't know, I saw a poster yesterday and it was like, do you know anyone who experiences anxiety? And I was like, every single person in the world, right? Not, there's different levels, obviously. And I'm not going to minimize that. Some people experience extreme anxiety, and nobody should know of such a thing. But to a level, to a measure, we all experience worry and difference. And that is the experience of the Nefesh HaBahamas, okay? That driving force inside of you that just wants to survive. So we spoke about that. And we also wanted to speak a little bit about this Nefesh HaLakis, this godly soul. Who's this Nefesh HaLakis? What is his or her function? What does it do? How do we get in touch with that? Nefesh HaBahamas feels pretty relatable. Like, as soon as you start saying those character traits, you're like, okay, fine, I could, I know what survival feels like, I know what worry feels like, I know what being short-sighted feels like. But the Nefesh HaLakis's experience, which is one of depth, one of acknowledging Hashem's experience fully and completely. It is a piece of Hashem. I really have a piece of Hashem inside of me? What does that even mean? The Alter Rebbe says, Chelek Eloka Mimal Mamish, an actual part of Hashem. That feels very beyond me. I don't even know if I feel like that's true. How do I even relate to that experience? It feels remote, right? So the Alter Rebbe's whole experience here, and what he's trying to bring to us, is how that is relatable, that is something you can connect to, that is truly a part of you that you can access, okay? And he's going to give you a lot of different ways and explanations on how to think of the Nefesh HaLakis so that we could better understand ourselves and better feel like we can connect with our godly soul, okay? Because the ultimate purpose is to connect to that godly soul and bring its power, bring its ability to see Hashem, bring that godly consciousness to the animal soul. So what is the purpose of our entire creation? Right here, right now, the Alter Rebbe is talking about it here, and he's going to let it unfold with every single chapter of the Tanya. The purpose of creation is to let godly consciousness shine. Right? So like we said last week, what is this world? It's not good versus bad, right? It's Kedusha and anything else. Everything else is coverings over Kedusha, right? Kedusha is everything. Obviously, nothing exists outside of Hashem. So the Alter Rebbe, in ways, almost like simplifies it and makes it more complicated. And this is a habit that happens throughout the Tanya, where it's very simple. This is what the world is. There's kadosh, there's holy, there is godly, God consciousness, where you see clearly that this is God. I see the spark, I see the light. It's right there for me. And then there's other. What is that other? Anything that is other is considered in that realm of klipa, and there's different forms of klipa. But the purpose of it, and the reason why we're in this world, engaging with all the millions of things that we're doing on an everyday basis that makes us feel like we're drowning, the real purpose is that we uncover the Kedusha in every moment, in everything that we see, in the people that we experience and interact with, in the clothes that we wear, in the foods that we eat. The whole point of it all is to remove the klipa and let the light shine. Now, the most incredible way to do that is to do it within your very self, We're you. You have your body. You have your nefesh bahamas. You have that other consciousness, not a godly consciousness, a self-oriented consciousness. And to be able to teach that self-oriented consciousness that it doesn't need to survive, that Hashem is really here with you, that you're okay, that you're safe, and that it could feel, wow, I don't know exactly what it, you know, that other soul is talking about, but I'm feeling calmer. And I think that somehow I can maybe try to understand it. That's the point of creation, where the light can shine through that animal consciousness or that self-oriented consciousness, okay? So that's the purpose. That's what we're gonna be talking about. And I feel bad saying this when I know that I might not be here next class and we might take a little recess. I'm just gonna pause in the middle of our shiur and say, right? Okay, that I might be here. I'll let you know on Monday. So, okay, fine. Okay, fine. So this, feel bad saying this, we're launching into Tanya and we're not, because we're pausing right before Shavuos and then for the beginnings of, I don't know, the next 3 or 4 weeks for summer, like kind of to shift into summer. And then God willing, we'll come back probably June, July, end of June. Okay? That's just so you all know. But we're here. We're here for it. And still, there's enough here that we're learning that we could work with for the next month. That would be amazing. Okay. So back to what we're talking about here. So we went into the nefesh, the soul. I'm just using the word neshama because that's one word to encompass the entire soul. But we had mentioned last week that there are actually 5 different parts of this soul. The nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Okay? The nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. These are 5 different parts of it. And we categorize them. The nefesh, ruach, neshama are the ones that are very much invested in each person and help make you uniquely you. The chaya, yechida are much more subconscious. Okay? And we were talking about this last week, how at your essence, at your core, we all come from the same place, Hashem's Chachma, Hashem's wisdom, right? And it's more in the subconscious. It's not actually invested in the actual person. And to help us understand this, the Alter Rebbe gave us this example of the soul being similar to how a child is created, okay? And we gave that whole example of how is a child created. He originates from the father's brain and translates into the mother's womb and grows inside the mother's womb, and there's a whole gestation period. But ultimately, where does it actually originate from? From the father's brain, okay? From the father's chachma, so to say. And we were discussing how even in, like according to science, you could see that the way that a cell formulates inside a mother's womb, there's this original cell, which immediately directly starts building the brain. And then from there, each cell has its original copy, its original imprint or its direction of exactly what to do. And then it also has its own specific functions. So then there, you know, throughout the gestation period, the cells break off and they split off into different parts of the human body. One cell is to create nails, one cell is to create skin tone, pigmentation, one cell is to create the toes and the feet and the soles and every other aspect of this human being that is developing from that one original cell. And the Alter Rebbe explains that that's how you see many different types of neshamas. It's not, and this is where he's bringing this mashal to help us understand the difference between neshamas as well. There are some neshamas that are great tzaddikim, and there are some neshamas that don't even know that they're a Jew. So how does that work? So at our source, at our core, we are all the same. We are all united. We are one whole cohesive body. And there's also difference amongst the souls, right? There's a difference, there's a nuance amongst the souls, and the subtlety is twofold. One, there are tzaddikim of a generation, and that tzaddik, in your mind, you should think of it as the original imprint, like in the father's brain, that original imprint, that original mission for that soul. That is the way the neshama of a tzaddik is. It's directly mirrors Hashem's desire for this world and is completely one with Hashem's chachma. Just like all of us have within us as well. All the neshamas, just like the cells, have that imprint. And then we also have the imprint to be a toenail, right? Or the imprint to also be a hair, or the soul, or, I don't know, your fingers, right? So one of the things that the Alter Rebbe says, and this is what we were speaking about last time, is how important it is to connect to a tzaddik. Why? Because connecting with the tzaddik helps you connect with your imprint, with who you originally are, where you actually came from, and where we all are all united as one. And the more that I could connect with the tzaddik, the more it will help me remember who I am at my core. Now, what does that mean? How does a relationship with the tzaddik work? So a relationship with the tzaddik looks like being in his presence, learning from his teachings, hearing stories about a tzaddik. The idea is that it brings you back on a soul conscious level, back to, oh, that's me. Not, oh, that's someone else, some great tzaddik who performed this great thing. It helps you remember who I am in my source. And the tzaddik brings you there. He refines you by bringing you back to who you truly are. So it's a very important piece. Then, this is where we're finally up to, the Alter Rebbe talks about another difference amongst souls, which is how the neshama actually descends into this world. And we're not going to talk about it for very long, but let's just talk about the concept. So the way that Hashem created the world is that we're going to go into it later in the Tanya, but to give it a brief introduction is that in order to create the world, there had to be a space for which there could be a concept of otherness. Okay, so there's a space suddenly, not all Hashem, there's a space that you seemingly could think that there is otherness, something. That something was a first creation right before there was a something, the concept of something. Okay, it was space. And then from there, Hashem inserted four worlds, okay? The first one's called Atzilus, the next one is Bria, Yetzira, and then Asiya, okay? These are these four worlds. Now, are they in different places, or do you find them in Fiji? They're everywhere, because they're spiritual worlds. So just to give you a mashal to understand, like, what does that even mean? Imagine for yourself, you have all different parts of yourself. There's your thoughts, there's your emotions, there's your the way you speak, the way you act, your subliminal experience, your subconscious, your past, your parents, your identity, right? There's so many aspects of you. When I look at you, what am I interacting with? Just the you that expresses itself, right? The speech, the action, the expression of your thoughts. I am interacting with all of you, but I don't really have an understanding of all of you. I don't see all of you. So the four worlds are here. They're all present, right? It's a spiritual concept. There's no place for them outside of this world. They're happening at every given moment. What we experience is the world of Asiya, the world of action. That's what we experience, how Hashem is creating this world at every given moment. But really, there are other worlds that Hashem is also interacting with us with, but we don't quite see them. We don't quite experience them, okay? Now, the neshama, in order to descend into this world, and I use descend because it, like, helps us understand things, because we think of Shemayim being up there, you know, Hashem being up in the sky, and then the neshama coming down into this world. All of that is obviously just spatial, right? Because we think in terms of time and space. But there's no such thing as this trove of souls that is up in Shemayim. It's right here, it's present, it's with us. It's a spiritual concept, right? You just can't touch it. But it helps us to understand by giving it a location, okay? But really, neshamas are, it's hard for us to think outside of space. We literally cannot. So when you say, like, oh, there's neshamas all around you, there's not neshamas all around you. I am neshamas. Like, it's everywhere, right? So when we say the neshama goes through a process of coming into the world of asiyah, coming into this world, which we, me and you, know, it goes through an experience of coming from world to world. So it originates all in Hashem's chachma, and then goes, passes from worlds, and that spills into another world and spills into another world until it comes into this world, into an actual physical body. Now, the status of the neshama, they all originally went place, right? Hashem's chachma, just like the brain, which is a reflection of the glimmer of thought in the father's mind, it's all from this one place. But how long it takes and what the gestation period between all of these worlds are for that neshama is going to impact the neshama. So if the neshama comes from the world of Yetzirah, it's going to be a little bit different, or it has spent more time in the world of Yetzirah, it's going to be a little different than a neshama that spent a lot of time in the world of Asiyah, or spent a lot of time in the world of Atzilus. Okay? Just to give an example of this to help you a little bit understand, and this will also segue into the other difference between neshamais. So there was a famous chassid of the Alter Rebbe, I believe, and his name was Rav Isaac Humler. And an incredible, incredible chassid. And it actually, the story goes about him that he was obviously a Beinoni, and actually the Alter Rebbe wanted to help him become a tzaddik and said, come, I'll help you, I'll lift you up. And Rav Isaac refused. He wanted to do the work himself, okay, and regretted it. But the story that we're sharing here is Rav Isaac one time came to the Alter Rebbe and he says, you know, the Hasidim, the younger Talmidim, the younger Hasidim are not respecting me enough. You know, they're messing around with me. They're bothering me. And which just sounds so funny because we're talking about like tzaddikim over here. And the Alter Rebbe said something very profound to him. He said, I want to share something with you, help you understand a little bit of who you are. You have the neshama of Atzilus. You have a neshama that comes from Atzilus, which means it spent a lot of time in Atzilus. That's the highest of all these worlds. That's the most spiritual of all these worlds, okay? Very edel, special neshama. Just to give context, right? Tanaim, their neshamas come from the world of Yetzirah, one step lower. The Amoraim came from the next world, even lower. Yetzirah, okay? He came from the world of Atzilus. That's where his neshama originated from, spent the most time in, and then dropped down into this world. So you'd think, oh my goodness, his neshama is higher than one of the Tanaim, one of the Amoraim. That's incredible. And yet we know his status to still be one of Beinoni, and he's still being degraded or disrespected by these younger Hasidim. Why? What is that? And so the Alter Rebbe said, yes, your neshama comes from Atzilus, but when your parents were together to create this neshama, that also had an impact on you and your neshama. And that fashions and it impacts the amounts that a neshama can do in this world. So the reason why you keep on getting teased is to help refine your neshama so that it could get through the fact that these levushim that your parents gave to you, these garments that your parents gave to you when they were together to birth this neshama and bring this neshama into the world, this is going to help you get to the higher spiritual status that you are. So just to help you understand what we're trying to say, when we say that there's difference amongst neshamas, there's a difference where the neshama spent the most time in the gestation period of this neshama. It's called ibur. And there's also a difference at the very end when the parents are together, or rather at the very beginning, when the parents are together, how holy and spiritual those parents are and what their thoughts are and what they're investing into this child at the time of them being together at their union, and also who they are as people and what they're bringing into this world, also impacts the neshama, also limits what the neshama is actually going to be able to be. So all of that is to say that when we're trying to understand who am I at my core, right? Again, this is what the Alter Rebbe is trying to do. He's trying to be very clear, very honest, very true with us of who you are as a person. Not to say you're a lowly person, God forbid, not to say you're a nothing, but actually to say how incredible you are. Know that there's a part of you that is chelek eloka mimal mamish, a part of Hashem. And the reason why you can't be in touch with that is for many reasons. It could be that your neshama is not necessarily one that has spent a tremendous amount of time in the higher worlds. It could be that it spent a lot of time in the lower worlds. Doesn't make you less. It just means that it's impacted by the soul's gestation period. Your soul is also impacted by your parents. Your soul is also impacted by your environment. Now that you know all that and you look at yourself and you say, what can I do about this? Well, that's going to be the rest of the Tanya. What can I do with knowing who I am? This neshama, with this set of qualities, with this set of abilities, now let me move forward and be, like we said last week, actualizing myself within the capacity and the ability that was granted to me. Okay? Perfect. So, I want to just make sure I was looking at some other extra notes on Perek Beis, and I want to make sure that we have these clarifications before we move forward. Okay? First of all, any questions? Because it's a lot of information, a lot of trying to understand what the Alter Rebbe is trying to bring here. No? Okay. So, what is our neshama? It's a chelek elokam yimal mamish. Okay? What is the nefesh bahamis? It's something that comes from klipa. What does that mean? It doesn't mean bad. It just means lack of consciousness of Hashem. It just means that its source comes from a place where Hashem doesn't want to be revealed. And the whole purpose of that is that our godly soul, which is inside our animal soul, our godly soul will impact the animal soul and help bring it to a state of consciousness of Hashem. That is the point. That's the point in our Avaita, in our own bodies, and also the point of what we're supposed to be doing in the rest of the world. Where is our Nefesh Bahamas and Nefesh Elokis? It's inside our bodies. Nefesh Bahamas is specifically invested in our blood. It's our life source. Okay, wanted to make sure everybody saw that. Okay. We said this already. Okay. One thing that I didn't put in our review is this, but we said it last week. I just want to make sure we say it again. When we talk about creations versus us as people who have neshamais, there's a slight difference. Hashem spoke the rest of the world into existence, as opposed to us, who it says that Hashem blew of himself life into our very being. And that makes the difference, and that's why the Alter Rebbe says chelek elokam mimal mamish, because Hashem speaking the world into existence means that there's an emanation outside of him. There is somewhat of a distance between him and it. It's a creation. It came outside of him. He said it, and I'll give you an example, right? We could say a lot of things that we don't mean. Right? So let's say I said something. I could say something that's not true. I could say something that is true, and then it suddenly stops being true. I could say something and then really want to take it back, but now it has a life of its own. It's gone. It's like a feather in the wind. And let's say it was, you know, a lashon hara, a rumor, a something about someone else. I have no control over it any longer. The Alter Rebbe talks about this mashal a little bit more later on in the Tanya. It's removed from its origin. As opposed to, and blowing, there also is an element in our human understanding of blowing being separate from ourselves. But the reason why this mashal is brought is in order to illustrate how blowing comes from within myself and it takes out of me when I blow. And the reason why we bring this mashal is to help us understand that that Hashem is not speaking the world into existence, or not just speaking us into existence, but also blowing of himself us into existence, which means that we are sourced within him in a deeper way than the creations themselves, which are just spoken into existence. It's just a slight difference, okay? And yes, we also are created in his light, meaning similar to him, in that Hashem has the power to create through dibur, through speech, of course, and so do we. We're granted that ability to also speak things into existence and create through our power of dibur. Okay, fine. Something that I wanted to just end off with, and this is mainly, I think, the point of what the Alter Rebbe is trying to bring in helping us understand who we are at our core. One could look at oneself and say, you know, I've only gotten this far. I don't know. I'm 40 years old. I'm 60 years old. I'm 18 years old. And I've only done this so far. I've only done that so far. Or you're telling me I could never even get there even if I tried. And the idea is that more than anything else, the Alter Rebbe is talking to each and every single person and saying, you need to know who you are so you can measure your own progress. If your neshama is not a neshama from Atzilus, from the highest of all the realms, why are you trying to do something that is beyond you? And if you're a neshama from Asiya, the lowest of the realms, but you also come from very illustrious, special parents who invested in you incredible levushim, incredible ways of interacting with the world, then you should know that your neshama is meant for great things. So not that we all have the answers, because we don't know exactly where all of our neshamas came from or what our parents were thinking when they had us. But the idea is to help us get involved with this mental exercise of progress, not perfection, and to recognize I am working within my own parameters. I can't be comparing myself to other people. The only person I could be comparing myself to, me, is myself. And do I measure up to where I want to be getting in my life? And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, because it's so much easier to look at somebody else and either give up or make myself feel bad or drown in a shame pool, or the opposite, feel really good about myself and feel like I'm doing great. Look at what she's doing. Look at what he's doing. Everything seems to be fine on this end. But the idea is to look at myself and measure myself by who I am. Am I a person who was blessed to have the ability, I don't know, to live in a Jewish community and I don't have to struggle with things that are much harder if you don't live in a Jewish community? Yes. So that's one metric system that I can use. That's a blessing. So that should put me in the category of, Hindi, move yourself a little bit forward, right? Am I blessed with, I don't know, certain talents, certain features, certain abilities to express myself? Whatever it is that I could look at myself honestly and say, I have this to me. Now, how am I going to move forward with that and serve Hashem with that? And again, I have to be looking at me, not at everybody else. And it could be, you could have a twin sister. You could have a best friend who's exactly like you. You are not alike, right? We are all so unique and different. And there's parts of ourselves that make us unique that we don't even quite know. And Hashem says, look at yourself, look to yourself, and make one step forward. Stop comparing yourself, because that's the first thing that the Yitzhar is trying to do. Make you compare so that you don't move forward. And you stay in your animal consciousness, where you're just staying in your ego and you're staying settled and satisfied, or you're staying ashamed and not able to progress. And the most important thing is to just clear all of that, right? The Alter Rebbe is saying, let's not do any comparisons. Let's not look when we come into a room. We're not looking around saying, where am I better? Where am I less? I always forget the word for that. There's a special word for it. When you walk into a room and you're analyzing, like who you're, it's called positioning. So that positioning that we do, whether it's on a very physical plane, a very egotistical plane, or on a spiritual plane, all that positioning, the Alter Rebbe is throwing out the window. He's saying, look to you and see what you can be doing here for your neshama with your capacities and your capabilities. And I will say that that's really hard, because if someone doesn't have honesty, and if someone doesn't have self-awareness, and someone doesn't have an ability to just look at themselves and acknowledge what they have, they're too scared to look at it, or they're blind to the goodness that they are, then it's very hard to see your qualities. And if you can't see your qualities and see who you are, you can't move forward. The Alter Rebbe says it's so important to be aware of yourself. And why this is so interesting and unique is because most other people will say, stop with the awareness, shut yourself down, you're a nothing, be humble. The Alter Rebbe is not saying that. The Alter Rebbe is saying, be very truthful. Who are you? What are all the parts of you? Your animal soul parts of you are really important. All those animal soul parts of you are exactly what we're trying to get to serve God. So it's important for you to know that you have a good voice, or that you have a great sense of style, or that you're a beautiful person, or that you, I don't know, you're kind by nature. That's important for you to acknowledge about yourself. And it could be that you've been using it in an animal soul way, and now the more that we get attuned to our godly soul, the more we'll be able to access a godly way of interacting with that part of yourself. But the self-awareness is the first thing that has to come. So that's literally what the first parts, like the first chapters of Tanya are talking about. Self-awareness on all planes, all levels of ourselves. The more we know, the more we're informed, the more we're honest, and the more that we're humble. Moshe Rabbeinu is kind of humble. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say, I'm a nothing. He said, I am greatness. And if somebody else was in my place, they might have done much better. And all this is from Hashem. But he didn't not say what he is. And he was the most humblest of all men. So the idea is truly be honest and see me. And we're going to, God willing, hopefully take that, channel that towards Hashem, towards Kedusha, instead of it just staying here in Klipa, in otherness. So that is Be'ezras Hashem, the end of chapter Beis. We're going to start Perek Gimel soon, hopefully in like 4 to 5 weeks. And no rush. Everyone has to get their kids to camp. Everyone has to be healthy and good. Everyone should have a beautiful Shavuos. Everyone should feel like they're truly receiving the Torah in a deeply personal way. And yeah, yes. So I'll give you an example for that, right? So I was just teaching my high school class about Michal. Okay, so Michal was David HaMelech's first wife. And one of the things that are so special about Michal is that she was one of these singular women who wore tefillin. Yeah. And what that meant is on a date she wore tefillin. Tefillin. In those days, people wore tefillin all day, okay? Now, in order to wear tefillin, even a man nowadays, when he puts on tefillin, you're not supposed to be thinking about anything else. It's actually halachically incorrect for him to talk to you or for you to talk to him while he has the tefillin on. He's only supposed to be focused only on Eberster, Yerushimayim, the entire time. That's a requirement of wearing tefillin. So the fact that she put it on, right, and that she took this upon herself, which is not something that women have to do, right? She took it upon herself was because she saw that she was already doing that. She was already a person who was so disciplined, had so much control, her mind over her actions, that she was the kind of person who would be able to do that. And the fact that nobody protested and everyone agreed that she could be wearing tefillin, she was a singular person, right? Why am I bringing that example? Michal's incredible, right? Incredible, incredible woman in Jewish history. And she had the self-awareness to know that this is something that she can do. As opposed to very often, right, when we say like reach for the stars, let's say, you know, I know for myself, I've definitely done this in my life where I've taken something upon myself. But then when you look in like, I don't know, the stratosphere of how what my Aveda actually looks like, Hindi, maybe just make sure you're saying a bracha clearly when you pop something into your mouth before you start doing this very lofty, whatever it is, thing that you're doing, right? And I'm not trying to beat myself up. It's more to be really honest with where you're really at instead of thinking, oh, I'm ready for this great thing. And maybe you are. And maybe it's okay for us to be working on ourselves from all different levels. But nobody's going to say, you should start wearing tefillin when not everything else really measures up to that. So the concept is that to a certain extent, yes, and to a certain extent, no. And that's where it gets like complicated. So like Hashem could if you've done all the work and you've gotten to like this sphere, it's hard to like really understand what we're talking about. But you've done all this work and you've gotten to this place and you're just waiting to break that, you know, that glass ceiling. Hashem could do that for you. A tzaddik can do that for you. You can do that for yourself. Like we saw, David HaMelech says, Libi chalo bekirbi, that I've slain my heart. He destroyed a part of himself where the Nefesh Bahamas doesn't even exist any longer. Yes, he accessed something. What does that actually mean? It's a very hard thing to understand. So there is a possibility, but in the realm of like us being practical, it's important. Right. And the Alter Rebbe says it's within your ability, right? Right. We all want to be a tzedekes. It feels so good. And there's also something special about like embracing your role in this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everyone has to be king. Not everyone has to be queen. And like, fully embracing what your purpose is in the infrastructure of Am Yisrael. Right. A style, you said? Oh, comes out. Yeah. Right. Right. Which is kind of like what we were talking about at the end. You have to just measure against yourself. What's your purpose and what's going to be good for you and what uniquely looks good on you? Yeah, that's a good one. You have a question? I was saying that your words have creative power. So that's, I mean, you can see that every day. I mean, I know, let's say with my children or even with my husband, right? So I could use words that will create goodness, create more positivity in them, you know, impact their day in a good way. It literally just happens this morning. Something happened in the car. As my kid was leaving the car, I can't even remember what, something, like maybe I said something or someone else said something to him, and he's like, there goes my day. I was like, wow. Just that one sentence he knew is going to, or he was saying to himself, is going to impact his day. I mean, he was 8. But the idea is, yes, our words have a lot of impact, and they can create, and the rest of the future does rely on that creativity sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't think we have a say in it. I don't think the Neshama chooses where it comes from. But that's an interesting question.